Welcome to Social Media Know-How, the podcast featuring the greatest minds and brands in the world of social and digital marketing. And now, your host, founder and CEO of Link Humans, Jorgen Sundberg.
Hey son, how's it going? Very welcome to Social Media Know-How, the Link Humans podcast. I'm Jorgen Sundberg, and I'm your host. And this podcast is all about improving your social and digital marketing game. Right, so it's the second week of January 2016, and I'm coming to you from Link Humans Global HQ in North London, Finchley, in fact. And it's now got a lot colder here in town, and we're bracing ourselves for snow any minute now. Now, last week, the UK, well, the social media world in the UK was gripped by the Puddle Watch. I don't know if you watched it, hashtag Puddle Watch or hashtag Drummond Puddle Watch. Drummond is the agency that was live streaming a puddle up in Newcastle in the north of the UK, where it's rained a lot and lots of people were trying to negotiate this giant puddle, try to walk around it and get their shoes muddy or, walk through a hedge and so on. It was fairly entertaining to watch. And it was all done on Periscope. And at one point we had, in this country, I don't know who was watching, maybe from all around the world, who knows. There were 20,000 concurrent viewers at one point. People were commenting about different tactics and techniques about going through this puddle. And in the end, I think a Domino's pizza was delivered to the puddle. It became a bit of a PR place. A guy on a surfboard showed up. Someone listed puddle water on eBay. And it was basically the talk of social media. And it's the productivity in many offices around the country was down to a very low. Let's just say that Team Link Humans was gripped by the drama. Anyway, that was last week. We'll see what crazy antics social media will bring up for us this week. Now, this week we have a very good interview, and it's with a guy called Alexander Onish, and he is head of digital employer branding over at L'Oréal. You know that French beauty brand, which is probably world leading in their own industry, but certainly world leading on social media. So it's going to be a really interesting interview, and Alex is a really good guy. Before we roll that, I just want to share my tip of the week. Okay, so my tip of the week is, it's basically a survival kit for those of you who are using Topsy to analyze social media. So Topsy was a social media search engine analytics tool, which was acquired by Apple a couple of years back. And on the 16th of December, they shut the whole thing down. So if you go onto Topsy now, it redirects to, is it Siri search? So Siri, basically the search engine of Apple. So basically Apple are no longer interested in servicing the world with these search queries or anything. Instead, they just wanted to grab the technology and integrate it into their product and their ecosystem. So social media marketers around the world have been up in arms about this, saying, what are we going to do now? Everyone has agreed that Topsy was fantastic. It's funny how you only realize how great a free tool is when you lose it. However, there are some alternatives, and our chief blogger, Ben Donker, has written a really good post on the Link Humans website. So it's linkhumans.com/blog/topsy-replacements. You could probably just search for it, or just go to linkhumans.com and look at the blog section. But basically, Ben has gone through the internet, and he is an analyst, and he's looked at what are some of the best replacements for Topsy. And he talks about different usages and so on, and talks a lot of different tools and different price brackets and so on. So have a look at it, and it features tools such as Keyhole, Hash Tracking, TalkWalker, TweetReach, Social Mention, Epic Beat, TwitNorme, and BuzzZumo, and Follow the Hashtag and so on, and lots of other tools that I've never heard of. So it's a really useful post. So have a look on the Link Humans blog. So that's linkhumans.com/blog and just click on the Topsy. It's called Post Topsy Survival Kit, the best replacements. Okay, with that, it's now time to transition to today's interview with Alex Onish at L'Oreal. I'm here with Alexander Onish, or Alex Onish, who is the Digital Employer Branding Manager at L'Oreal, which is, of course, a shining light in social media recruitment and has been mentioned many times on this podcast. Alex is an American based in Paris, and he's also a wannabe chef. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks very much.
Now, Alex, can you please give us an overview of L'Oreal for people who don't know it, and also what you do there?
Sure. Well, L'Oreal, as you probably know, is the world leader in cosmetics, beauty, and grooming around the world. We're active in We have companies headquarters in more than 70 countries. We're selling products in more than 130. And basically, we're on a mission to help provide confidence to men and women around the world by making them feel better about themselves, protecting them against skin cancer, making them basically put together their optimum version of themselves when they're presenting themselves externally, and ultimately trying to make the world a more beautiful place. In terms of what I do there, I'm in charge of HR communication, and specifically with that digital communication. I'm coming not from at all from an HR background. In fact, I'm coming from the e-commerce and digital marketing world, where I was working on Kiehl's in the US for about 2 years. And now my job is to use the same digital tools that I used for selling skincare in order to help attract top talent, which means managing the career website and all of the campaigns that drive traffic there, CRM campaigns with our email database, social media and content strategy, as well as employee feedback tools. And kind of on the side, just because I'm a digital person working in HR, I'm helping with the upskilling of the entire HR community and helping introduce and onboard tools that help digitalize and get people to understand the objectives of why digital is so important, even if we're not talking about marketing.
Okay, great. And tell us more specifically about digital employer branding at L'Oreal. And also, you mentioned objectives. What are the overall objectives?
Sure. Well, I'll go first through a principle that we like to use, which is the loyalty loop principle, which follows the consumer on kind of four main stages of their awareness of a product, their evaluation of a product, their purchase of a product, and their post-purchase advocacy of that product. So in the HR world, we use the same loop, but we replace the purchase with apply. So we want to make sure that we're developing campaigns and working with platforms in order to increase the awareness of L'Oreal as an employer, then give tools possible to help evaluate all of the benefits and possible options that you could have with the career, inciting, of course, the next step to apply. And then once you're inside L'Oreal, to, of course, advocate on behalf of the company in order to use the power of the network and the recommendation and the word of mouth to make more and more people come to join us. So our employer branding team is separate from the talent acquisition team, but we work very closely in tandem with them in order to make this loop as solid as possible. We focus as much as possible on the awareness and evaluation parts of the loop, and, of course, on developing different platforms and procedures for inciting advocacy. Our biggest challenge, I suppose, in a lot of countries is awareness. It's certainly very strong in Western Europe, but around the world, like Brazil, like the US, like China, we have a much harder job of actually reminding people that this is, in fact, a really cool company that you can work in.
Great. And yeah, so for those markets where L'Oreal is very well known, how do you go about separating the employer brand from the corporate and even the consumer brand?
That's a really good question. And we've had many a debate about this, but we can finally truly say that they're not necessarily so separate. One of the key factors that we know about when a person is trying to decide where to work, it's whether or not they know or are exposed to the company's products and brands. But in the case of employer branding and speaking separately or differently from corporate and consumer brands, we have a slightly different tone and a slightly different message. We want to take the power of our brands, our 32 brands that we have internationally around the world, and say, okay, yes, you might think first L'Oreal, that means L'Oreal Paris, that means makeup, that means beauty, that means the Oscars, that means really high fashion, right? But our goal is to say, yes, okay, we have that, but we also have these other 31 brands that are focused on sun care and male grooming and hair care, fragrance, and further that our industry is actually a really interesting, dynamic, fast-paced industry. But above all, from a messaging standpoint, our goals are really to talk about the culture behind the brands, our mission of why we do what we do, and to show, you know, through the people that work here that this is a challenging work environment where people are empowered to deliver innovative and creative projects and work no matter what division you're in, no matter what job you're doing. So our job is in essentially to challenge the norms, to challenge the status quo, and to challenge people to think bigger about L'Oreal. It's not just that L'Oreal Paris brand, to think bigger about the industry, that it's not a superficial industry, that in fact you can do a lot of interesting, life-changing things for a variety of people around the world. And of course, that due to the size and impact that this company has on the world, that you we challenge you to think bigger about who you can be when you graduate college, or who you can be, what kind of impact you can have and you can make on the world at large, no matter what part of the business you're working in.
Yeah, of course. I think I remember this from a presentation from Talent Connect last year, that that of course you guys don't just hire people to work in makeup and beauty. It's also IT guys and finance, and so lots of different functions.
Exactly.
Which is important to remember. Now, so you
just to add a note, I mean, we have amazing science and we have amazing engineering roles because we have a crazy high innovation rate. Lots of patents are made every year. We have advanced research and applied research, plus an amazing, strong industrial complex, just because more than 90% of our products are actually made by us. So we have a really big footprint in that respect as well.
Which ties in really well with my next question. So L'Oreal, you guys are known for being very innovative in this space, in recruiting and employee brand space. What's your methodology? How do you test and what makes you decide to launch a campaign on a specific platform, for instance?
Sure, yeah. In employer branding, we love to be as, I guess, digital as possible. And what we do is a lot of testing and learning. You know, in the digital world, it's better to launch something and then improve after you've learned about how it works. So test and learn. So when we see a new platform or a new system that's not necessarily meant for employer branding or HR communication, we'll say, well, what could we do with this? You know, is there a way that we can hack it? Is there a way that we can use this media or take some of our existing content and put it on this platform to reach people that we haven't reached before? We have tons and tons of great content that we're creating ourselves, but we're also collecting from all the parts of the business all around the world. And a platform like, for example, SoundCloud, which normally is for DJs and artists to showcase, you know, their newest tracks, could actually be used, in fact, for showcasing interviews of people. And we use that as like a content repository, and we use that to, you know, share sounds, if you will, on all of our other channels. So even if it's not necessarily using a platform for what it's meant for, we can still use it for some other purpose. And we'd like to just be creative in that way.
Okay, it's interesting you say that. How would you say do you use the different channels in different ways? So for instance, I'm thinking of the career site, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube.
Sure.
I found SlideShare, SoundCloud, and even Medium.
Yeah, we like to test. We like to trial out of things. But before we ever launch anything, we, of course, think about what the objective is. It's really important to make sure that we have one main objective for a channel. So as I was mentioning earlier about that loyalty loop, that candidate loop, where we talk about awareness, evaluation, application, and advocacy, we try and take each of the different platforms and say, what is this going to be used for? What step? So, for example, Twitter is more of a evaluation plus application perspective. We use Twitter just like some other big companies do as a kind of call center. People send us messages constantly about what's the status of my application. Hey, are there any minimum requirements for this? And we guarantee an answer within 24 to 48 hours. You can look at SoundCloud, as I mentioned earlier, as a way to also help people evaluate by sharing sounds of interviews from employees on our Facebook channel, on LinkedIn, even on Medium, to really, and especially on our career website, of course, in order to make get people to learn more about what we do. And of course, our career website is our main repository where everything is kind of coming together, linking to and linking from, to really give that full experience. Of course, each platform has its own demographic. It has its own tone of voice. So the things that we share on Facebook, for example, are not necessarily the same things that we share on LinkedIn. We could do a really cool interview with the top manager, and what we take out of that interview might be a photo with a really inspiring quote that we put on Facebook. But we take, in fact, a clip of that interview, we put it on YouTube, and then share that on LinkedIn because we're going to share a really interesting professional challenge because we want to make sure it's more framed toward that professional network. So each channel kind of has its own tone of voice, and we try and connect it, of course, to that loyalty loop.
Right. And historically, which platform has performed the best for you, and which one do you think will do well?
Oh, well, I mean, we have a certain level of success along the way. I think for me, my favorite, of course, is now the career website, which we launched about a month and a half ago. We're seeing incredibly high conversion rates, people actually coming to the site and clicking to apply, about 3 or 4 times higher than we had seen with our old career website. People spending, you know, now 6, 7, 8 minutes on the website as opposed to just spending 1 or 2 minutes. So we really see that people want to engage with all of this media and our story. That's not really based on text. It's more based on media. And then YouTube as well, I think, is also incredibly successful. Just because we have a really high number of subscribers, and it's constantly animated with videos coming from all over the world that really give people that picture of the culture. Now, of course, I will definitely say that we have enormous success on LinkedIn, which I myself cannot necessarily take credit for. But I think through LinkedIn, we've been managing, through the talent acquisition team, LinkedIn has been a great platform for us to share our innovation and find new creative ways to develop our talent pool.
Great. And in terms of campaigns, are there any campaigns that you and the team are very proud of? Not necessarily the most known ones, rather the ones that you felt made a difference.
Yeah, I will. In fact, it's certainly something that no one knows about because it's a campaign that happened internally. We've been realizing that in the market, more and more candidates are becoming aware of feedback sites like Glassdoor, like in Brazil, I Love Mondays, or like in Germany and the German-speaking world, Kununu. And we noticed that people were going there to make decisions about where to work. And in fact, that could make or break how someone decides whether or not to accept an offer or even to apply. So we launched a campaign internally to help invite people who are current employees to write their feedback. Because there was a big problem. We saw that through analyzing all of the data, the majority of our reviews on these platforms were written by former employees. And we know that people who leave necessarily don't have the highest impression of the company. And when we analyzed all of our current employees' reviews, we saw that there was significantly higher scores across all of the different criteria. So what we did was we encouraged employees to leave their feedback, and we made it as explicitly clear as possible that we were not expecting them to write positive feedback because, first of all, that's not ethical, and second of all, it's not in our best interest. And we also wanted the people to understand that, first, top managers will be sent this information, this feedback. It's anonymous, but we'll still be able to feed this back to the top management and improve policies and procedures within the company. At the same time, we wanted to remind them what's at stake here, that it's a public forum, and this forum is used to help attract top talent, and people use this as a way to make decisions about where to work. So what we got after we did this internal campaign was about, 200% more reviews written by employees, and our feedback was really, really constructive and is helping to kind of invent and reinvent some of our HR policies. Plus, our score on Glassdoor is much more reflective of our current work environment. So it's technically a win-win situation for, first of all, improving our image, and second of all, improving the employee experience. And I really think that that's really strong element for the future of employer branding, that we kind of put as much back into the hands of the employees.
Yep, great. And if we go back to content, how do you make sure that you keep employer branding content interesting and not just a classic a day in the life of ...
Well, I don't want to completely throw a day in the life out the window because I think it's certainly a good pillar of a HR communication strategy. It's the most authentic. It's really, really down to earth, and it shows a real story. So we can't throw that out the window completely, but it's true that we do have to have other tones of voice, other pieces of information that that really can help explain the company. So we really try and look at what our communication opportunities are. And the way that we do this is to first think about, okay, what is true about us? What do the employees actually experience? Then we take another group of ideas and say, okay, what is attractive to candidates, but what they don't necessarily perceive as something about L'Oreal? So we do a lot of consumer research. We work with Universum. We work with Potential Park. And we kind of combine all these ideas together and say, okay, these are the opportunities that people don't yet know that this is the truth and that it's attractive about our company. So we tackle them head on. We actually will explicitly share pieces of information that say, yes, in fact, we have a really competitive compensation and benefits package, or yes, in fact, we do offer really interesting things like bike to work campaigns in certain countries or volunteer paid time off in other countries. But we also want to inspire people. So we want to connect them to the idea that we're a company that's thinking about the future and inventing the future, that we are a company where you can dream. But the last, I think it's really, really crucial. And it's my favorite thing, because I think with digital communication and with digital platforms, we have the ability to provide services and value to candidates and consumers. So we like to be as kind of transparent and give tips and tricks for how you can best present yourself in an interview, not necessarily for L'Oreal, but an interview in general. Give advice on what our recruiters are looking for in a CV, or how you can better use LinkedIn for getting hired. Just so people see that we're a resource, that we have a certain level of benevolence, and that we want to help them better themselves. We want to help them develop themselves, and we want to help them be better prepared for a job when they eventually do apply for L'Oreal or otherwise.
Great. And if we look at some of the mistakes or some of the hiccups along the journey, what are some of the hard lessons that you've learned that other companies and brands should avoid?
I'll talk specifically about one. Maybe I'll throw in a second one at the end. But first of all, just because you want to talk about something that you think is attractive to a candidate, or that you really want to share about your company because you think it's really cool, it doesn't mean that the candidate actually cares, or that the message is going to even work on social media or digital channels or even offline. So first you have to really analyze the things that you're actually credible to speak about. And then of course, intersect them, as I was saying before, with what's attractive. Then you have something worth talking about. I'll also, I guess, say that it's been an uphill battle in some cases, specifically with a project like Glassdoor. It's a place where people could certainly air their dirty laundry. And as it has traditionally been a place where we don't want employees to go because we're afraid of what they're going to say. But in fact, if we treat this opportunity right and try and reframe how the platform is perceived, or how other new digital platforms are perceived, then by showing what the possible benefit is, or that they can't be ignored anymore, then we help trying to change the discourse. So that was certainly a challenge. And I really say that if you're trying to launch something new, or you're trying to launch something interesting that you think is really going to make a difference with employee advocacy, or with social media strategy, or a new candidate portal, for example, that really takes itself out of a corporate environment, don't be afraid to challenge the norm, because the only way that you're going to be able to make any change is if you maybe even go further than what people want you to go, and then you bring it back a little bit. But there are certainly going to always be obstacles in your way, especially in the HR world, where people are certainly concerned about privacy, and people are certainly concerned about ensuring that we keep our image and our reputation as positive as possible.
Yeah, great. And how do you measure results? What metrics do you use, and what results that you achieved can you share with us?
Yeah, when we think about measuring results, we need to be clear on what our objectives are first, because depending on what your objective is, the KPI is different. So for example, as I was mentioning earlier, the awareness issue in non-European countries, we need to develop a list of KPIs that are more important for the reach of our messages and how many people are exposed to our messages, especially top talent. So we'll look at reach. So we look at Facebook and we see how many people are exposed to our content throughout the year. And we see, okay, yes, we have more than 1 million impressions from our international Facebook accounts. Great, we love that. But then we'll also look at engagement in other countries, so our more developed markets, and we'll look at how much time people are spending on our website. Are they spending 4 minutes? Are they spending 8 minutes? Where are they jumping off? What pieces of content do they really like? Is the content driving them to actually click apply? And so we'll look at the engagement rate of certain populations of people, whether it's an age demographic or a country demographic. And we see that bounce rate is super low. We only have about 25% bounce rate on our website, which means people are actually, you know, coming and they're getting what they're expecting and they're staying. So that's really key for us. On a bigger level, of course, we have certainly awards, rankings, reviews that we use as KPIs as well on a top level. So, you know, this year we're really proud that we were ranked the number 11 worldwide top employer, both top 20 in business and engineering. And engineering, for the first time, we've entered the top 20. So we're super proud of that, and a testament to a lot of the hard work that we've done globally, but also from the local teams.
Universum, yes?
Yes, Universum, yeah. Pardon me. And when we talk about Glassdoor, we look at how we're rating ourselves compared to our recruitment competitors. And we see that in the FMCG world, we have one of the highest scores out there for career progression, and we're doing quite well in compensation and benefits. Now, of course, we don't have a 5 out of 5. I'm not trying to say that we have a 5 out of 5, but when we see how we compare to some other big companies, career progression is something that we value here in the company, and it's something that's reflected externally as well. So we're proud of that. And then we look at YouTube. As I mentioned before, we have really incredibly high engagement rates and subscriber bases compared to all of our recruitment competition, except for, of course, everyone's favorite competitor, Google.
Okay. And is it fair to assume that L'Oreal, well, is most popular with people in France?
We certainly do incredibly well in France. You know, it's a company with an amazing reputation, and it's definitely not as difficult to convince people about the impact that you can have, because, you know, if you live in the Paris area or even in the greater Paris region, there's so many people who work for L'Oreal, and it's almost impossible to kind of, you know, not bump into someone who's doing something interesting for the company.
Right. And if we look at other companies, which ones inspire you on digital?
Certainly many companies are quite inspiring. And when I was in my digital marketing days on Kiehl's, we were doing a lot of benchmarking, not just necessarily in the beauty and cosmetics and grooming space, because it's important to look outside of that. I think in recent times, in the past couple of years and currently, I think Adidas does a very good job of digital marketing. First of all, they had an amazing strategy during the World Cup with kind of real-time content marketing, very, very interesting, ambitious campaigns that talked more about the purpose of sport and not just the actual functional element of this is a ball, we sell balls, this is a shoe, we sell shoes, you know, this is athletic gear, we sell athletic gear. It was really about the ambiance. So they definitely won in terms of like having great impressions, great feedback, great engagement. So they really understood how to speak to the right customer on the right platform. And beyond that, I think they've started to do a lot of interesting digital in-store activation, which I think is a frontier that not a lot of companies are really really testing and really going deep into. And they've done really great stuff with RFID chips in all of their clothing, so that you can interact with clothing and you can make checkout faster. So I'm really excited to see what they continue to do. Of course, you know, there are certainly many other companies doing other interesting things, but I guess holistically I'll say Adidas is quite inspiring for me.
Great. Yeah, I think Adidas, they're an interesting one.
Sorry for my American accent.
I don't know which one's right. but they have an interesting challenge in that their HQ is not in a nice place like Paris. It's in the Bavarian forest somewhere. And I think it's Herzogenaurach. And it's really difficult to get people to relocate there. But yeah, they're doing a great job.
Yeah, in fact, I don't know if you've seen it. It's actually a really cool kind of website that they've developed specifically about the campus in the Black Forest. And it's talking about, you know, how long it takes to get from the Nuremberg airport to these cities. Or if you want to take a weekend trip, where could you go? It's showcasing employees, talking about all of the services that they get. It's really quite cool. It does a very nice job to show that despite the fact that you're kind of in the middle of nowhere, that it's really an interesting work environment nonetheless.
Well, that's good. Helping the tourist board as well. Yeah. What are the next big things in digital employer branding, and what's the next big thing for you guys?
I'll say that it's not about employer branding anymore. It's certainly about the employee experience and giving the power, if you will, back to the employees. We talk a lot about advocacy and employee engagement, and we want our employees to be sharing content and sharing their stories to their networks, which essentially does all of the work for us. I think that in the future, there won't be employer branding teams when you have an engaged workforce that knows exactly what and how you want them to share. So I think that's one kind of tenet of the future. But when I talk more about giving the power back to employees, I think it's about creating platforms and encouraging the use of platforms that get people to leave feedback and get people to play an active role in the construction of the future of the company. Because first of all, when people do in fact share, they really feel like this culture is something that they can be proud of and something that they've constructed themselves. But also, you create a much better version of the company. So Glassdoor is a really important platform for not just for recruiting, but also for employer branding and getting people to go there and know that this is a place that we want them to share their experience. You know, it's not necessarily natural for people to write positive things. If you go to a restaurant, for example, and you have a horrible experience, of course you're going to write a negative review. But if you have a great experience, you kind of expect that. So it's not necessarily natural to go. And of course, there's no such thing as a perfect company. Everybody knows that. And simply talking about why you're a great place to work is nice. But if the employer branding team can actually incite, like via a transparency revolution through websites like Glassdoor, to in fact change the discourse between top management and employees, and incite change to benefit the company and benefit the employee experience, it's an even better story to sell to people out there, that not only can you have an impact in your work, but you can also have an impact on the construction of the company. So employer branding can be a much bigger role than you think as a change agent, because the tools that are normally perceived as external are also internal. But we're also working on launching internal engagement apps that actually encourage people to, you know, read news stories about us and share them on their own personal networks. And that also gets people kind of embedded into our culture, plus becoming the advocates as well.
Yeah, so employee advocacy.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Yeah, and I noticed that Glassdoor is getting a lot of airtime on this podcast, so I think we're going to have to get them on soon. Right, so finally, Alex, I wanted to ask you more about this wannabe chef. Tell us about your interest in food, and what's your signature dish?
Well, I think my interest in food really is spurred from the fact that I'm kind of addicted to cheese. And in fact, I read this article lately that cheese is apparently equally as addictive as drugs. So keep that in mind. Anyway, I love to experience the way that different cultures, as I travel around the world, treat food and respect food. And it's such an interesting part of every culture. And I just love to see, you know, different preparations of ingredients and new flavor combinations. So to me, like, what does that mean when I come home? I like to try and replicate what I've made. And, you know, I wind up creating the same things over and over again with slightly different flair. And I love to cook Asian food, for example, because I used to live in Japan. But I guess my signature dish is, it's kind of a crowd favorite every time that I have a brunch at my house, or I go to a friend's house for a brunch or breakfast. It's really easy to make. It's this casserole, if you will, of bread and eggs and cheese. And it sounds really simple, but you soak the bread in like this egg and cheese mixture with nutmeg and mustard overnight. And then you bake it first thing in the morning. So, you know, if you have a long night, no preparation in the morning, you just pop it into the oven. And then, you know, 40 minutes later, you have this really delicious kind of cheesy, gooey, almost like souffle texture. And it's always a crowd favorite.
Wow. Okay. You're going to have to send me a link to a recipe so I can put it in the show notes. And are there any lessons that translate from being in the kitchen and cooking food that translates into the workplace?
Yeah, definitely. Don't be afraid to try something new, you know, and don't be afraid to to jump off of the recipe. I don't necessarily recommend that with baking, and that's why I'm not a person that likes to bake. I like to cook because I know I can add, subtract, change as I go along. And just because your recipe says use this kind of oil, why can't you try a different kind of oil? Or just because it recommends this type of vegetable, try something new. You know, it's always great to improvise and be creative. And I think when you try and combine things together that you necessarily don't think would work, sometimes it's a failure and that's okay, but you've tried. But sometimes it's great and then you wind up creating something new and exciting.
Absolutely. Great. So where can we learn more about L'Oreal's employer brand work, and where can our listeners connect with yourself?
Sure. Well, for our employer brand work, I think the best place to go is careers.loreal.com. That's our new employer candidate portal. And of course, follow us on LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube. Just look up careers at L'Oreal and any kind of variation of the form. Personally, for myself, you can find me on Twitter at Alex Onish. And certainly you can connect on LinkedIn, but I would always recommend sending me a message with an invitation. It's a huge pet peeve of mine when people invite me to connect and I have no idea who they are and they have no explanation of why they want to connect. So don't forget the, hey, I heard you here, or hey, we met there, or hey, I'd like to get in touch about this. To me, it's really crucial, and not just for me, but in general in the LinkedIn networking world.
Yes, absolutely. It's just good courtesy. Great. Thank you very much for your time, Alex.
Great to chat with you.
Okay, I hope that interview was useful for you. Do let me know what bits you've taken away from it and what you're going to implement. Right, if you want to get in touch with me, send me an email at jorgen@linkhumans.com, so that's jorgen@linkhumans.com, or just use the hashtag SMKnowHow and we'll pick up your tweet from there. Also, I just wanted to remind you to, if you like this podcast, and if you want to make me happy, then A, subscribe on iTunes, and then B, do leave a review. It really means a lot to me and to all of us here at Link Humans. So please do that. And with that, I just want to thank you very much for tuning in, and I will catch you next time.
Thank you for listening to Social Media Know-How with your host, Jorgen Sundberg of Link Humans. For show notes and more, go to linkhumans.com/podcast and check out the hashtag SMKnowHow.